I had now lived near 7 months with Mr. H, when one day, returning to my lodgings from a visit in the neighbourhood, where I used to stay longer, I found the street door open, and the maid of the house standing at it, talking with some of her acquaintances, so that I came in without knocking. And as I passed by, she told me Mr. H was above. I stepped upstairs into my own bedchamber, with no other thought than of pulling off my hat, etc., and then to wait upon him in the dining-room, into which my bedchamber had a door, as is common enough. Whilst I was untying my hat-strings, I fancied I heard my maid Hannah's voice, and a sort of tussle, which, raising my curiosity, I stole softly to the door, where a knot in the wood had been slipped out, and afforded a very commanding peep-hole to the scene then in agitation, the actors of which had been too earnestly employed to hear my opening my own door from the landing-place of the stairs into my bedchamber. The first sight that struck me was Mr. H, pulling and hauling this coarse country strammel towards a couch that stood in a corner of the dining-room, to which the girl made only a sort of awkward resistance, crying out so loud that I, who listened at the door, could scarce hear her. "Oh, pray, sir, don't. Let me alone. I'm not for your turn. You cannot sure demean yourself with such a poor body as I. Oh, Lord, sir, my mistress may come home. I must not indeed. I will cry out." All of which did not hinder her from insensibly suffering herself to be brought to the foot of the couch, upon which a push of no mighty violence served to give her a very easy fall. And my gentleman, having got up his hand to the strong hold of her virtue, she, no doubt, thought it was time to give up the argument, and that all further defence would be in vain. And he, throwing her petticoats over her face, which was now as red as scarlet, discovered a pair of stout, plump, substantial thighs, and tolerably white. He mounted them round his hips, and coming out with his drawn weapon, stuck it in the cloven spot, where he seemed to find a less difficult entrance than perhaps he had flattered himself with, and, indeed, all his motions showed he was lodged pretty much at large. After he had done, his dearie gets up, drops her petticoats down, and smooths her apron and handkerchief. Mr. H looked a little silly, and taking out some money, gave it her, with an air indifferent enough, bidding her be a good girl and say nothing. The least delicate of all affairs of this sort being now over, I retired softly into my closet, where I began to consider what I should do. The provocation seemed too gross, too flagrant, not to give me some thoughts of revenge, the very start of which idea restored me to perfect composure. And delighted as I was with the confused plan of it in my head, I was easily mistress enough of myself to support the part of ignorance I had prescribed to myself. I stole a tiptoe to the dining-room, where I found the dowdy blowing the fire, and my faithful shepherd walking about the room and whistling, as cool and unconcerned as if nothing had happened. He stayed but a little while, made some excuse for not being able to stay the evening with me, and went out. As for the wench, she was now spoiled, at least for my servant, and scarce 8 and 40 hours were gone round before her insolence, on what had passed between Mr. H and her, gave me so fair an occasion to turn her away at a minute's warning, that not to have done it would have been the wonder, so that he could neither disapprove it, nor find in it the least reason to suspect my original motive. My worthy act of revenge was not long delayed. Mr. H had, about a fortnight before, taken into his service a tenant's son, just come out of the country. Very handsome young lad, scarce turned of 19, fresh as a rose, well-shaped and clever-limbed. In short, a very good excuse for any woman's liking. Mr. H. had clapped a livery upon him, and his chief employ was, after being shown my lodgings, to bring and carry letters or messages between his master and me. And as the situation of all kept ladies is not the fittest to inspire respect, even to the meanest of mankind, and perhaps less of it from the most ignorant, I could not help observing that this lad, who was, I suppose, acquainted with my relation to his master by his fellow servants, used to eye me in that bashful, confused way, more expressive, more moving, and readier catched at by our sex, than any other declarations whatever.